and good afternoon to you.
I'm Al Cresta. My guest, Father Matthew Hood, is the associate pastor of St. Lawrence Catholic Church in Utica, Michigan, and his world was turned upside down earlier this summer when the Holy See issued a note ruling that all baptisms using an altered formula were invalid. He saw the video of his own baptism and realized that the deacon had used a rejected formula. After 2 weeks of struggle, he officially received the sacrament of baptism that he thought he had received in his youth. And now he's asking the question of what flows from him having been ministering the sacraments of the church throughout his priestly career, when in fact he hadn't even been validly baptized. We're going to let him tell the story and help us figure out how the church is dealing with this. Father, good to have you with me. Thanks.
Good to talk to you today, Al.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and tell the story? I think that's the best place to begin since you lived it.
Of course. So it was about 5 months ago. It was during quarantine when everyone had more time on their hands that my dad was going through some old family videos, and he wanted to send a heartwarming video of some pictures of me right after I was born, or some shots of me right after I was born, me and my twin brother. And then in that same video, he also had scenes from our baptism. And I saw it, this is 5 months ago, and I realized that the deacon said the words, "We baptize you," instead of "I baptize you." And I knew at least that wasn't the proper form, and the next question was whether this is valid or not. I reached out to a few professors and canon lawyers, and at that time, we thought, well, it's best to err on the side that it's valid, because the Vatican hasn't been clear. There's been no definitive kind of declaration about this.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of was put to the side, and then just over 2 weeks ago, the Vatican put out the document that said, like you said, that those words are invalid, the words, "We baptize you."
Now, let's talk about that a bit, because a few things come to mind. One is, the deacon who baptized you, did he realize that he was fiddling around, you know, with a liturgical formula that he had?
I haven't spoken to the deacon. I'm not sure what his motivation was. I'm guessing it's he was trying to do it in some way to involve the community in more actively.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. So the "we" is like the community is receiving you as a new member of the body of Christ. Now, and most, I think most people would say, "Oh, that's nice. You know, that's kind of nice. It's a nice idea."
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
Well, it's not the community that baptizes; it's Christ who baptizes.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Right. Right.
The sacraments aren't what we make them up to be; they're what Jesus has given to us.
Yeah. So, what is the upshot of this in terms of your priestly ministry? Any baptisms that you performed are probably all right, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm very thankful for. So anybody can validly baptize in emergencies. And for all the baptisms that I did, I used the proper form and matter, so they're all valid baptisms.
Right. What happens with confessions?
So all of the other sacraments, all of the other sacraments are invalid then, including the sacrament of marriage, which is because I never had the jurisdiction to serve as the official minister of a marriage between Catholics, two Catholics, or Catholic and a non-Catholic.
What's the sacramental significance of the priest at the wedding? Because isn't it the marrying couple who are the ministers of the sacrament? But what's the role of the priest there?
Yeah, so I think in the Middle Ages, they had this problem of clandestine marriages, people running off and getting married. So they said, you have to follow Catholic form. You need to be in front of the official minister who would have jurisdiction. And then two other witnesses. So the problem in this case is, since I was never baptized, I could never receive that delegation or that jurisdiction to serve as the official minister of the sacrament. All Catholics are required to follow this form for marriage.
I'm just wondering why this couldn't be considered. This was illicit, but valid. In other words, this was the wrong way to do it. But
yes.
Wouldn't God acknowledge the good faith of those operating here
for the marriages? You're saying?
Yeah.
Well, it comes down to the one of the precepts of the church is to observe the church's marriage laws.
Mm-hmm.
So all Catholics are bound by those laws.
Yeah.
And those are positive laws that the church has given to us, ecclesiastical laws that do control the validity of the sacrament. You're right that the couple are the ones that make the marriage consent. Their consent between one another is what makes the marriage. But if they're not following Catholic form, then the marriage is invalid, which happens a lot if maybe somebody, a baptized Catholic, got married outside of the church, and that marriage ended for one reason or another, and they wanted to get married in the church, they'd get what's called a lack of form. It's not the full process of an annulment. It's just saying, oh, you didn't follow what the form was for marriage, what as Catholics were required to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So that previous marriage was invalid. It didn't happen.
Okay. So couples that were married, that you were functioning as a witness to their wedding and their marriage, are they now required to go back and reenact the sacrament?
Yeah. So those are the people, at least some of the people that I thought of first because I was concerned about them, people that I've come to know. I called them before the news broke on Saturday about all of this, and there's multiple options they can do. They can come to the church. The simplest and easiest way is just to come back to church and to say their vows.
Yeah.
There's another way called the Radical Saination that takes longer, which involves giving the dispensation, the permission for a Catholic to get married without Catholic form, retroactively.
Mm-hmm.
But that has to be done either by the Archdiocese or the Vatican.
Yeah. Okay. What about confessions, sacrament of penance, mortal sin, people?
Yeah.
Again, everybody's operating in good faith here, so
yes.
I want to always make
yes.
that clear.
So
what happens? Are they? Does that mean they were not properly absolved?
Well, I wasn't a priest, they weren't valid. But I believe firmly that God was present. We know that God is not limited by the sacraments,
right.
even though he's entrusted the sacraments to us, that there was some measure of grace in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
The Archbishop, in his letter on all of this, he said God acts sovereignly in those moments, and I believe that.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody's concerned about something that they've said to me in confession, it would be probably helpful to bring it up the next time you go to confession, just that I went to confession to Father Matt, and, you know, for this period of time, and I confessed these sins, the frequency of these sins. And the thing is, Al, sins are really boring and really monotonous, so it's generally pretty easy to know what you need to confess.
Sure. How are people receiving this news? How are they talking to you? I mean, I would imagine some people are kind of indignant, but other mm-hmm. people simply would say, well, you know, the church has its teaching and has its rules, and we ought to conform
yeah.
to those as best we can.
Yeah.
So I'm just
yeah.
curious, how are they regarding you?
By and large, all the people that I've come into contact with
yeah.
have been extremely supportive.
Good.
Like all of the marriage couples, we called them on Saturday, and I said, I'm so concerned about you. I thought maybe they'd get angry or upset, and they just said, we're so concerned about you, Father Matt, what you've had to go through.
Yeah.
They've been very open to say, okay, whatever we need to do, we'll do it as quickly as possible. And this past weekend, so I was just moved. I just was transferred to St. Lawrence in Utica in July.
Oh, wow.
The past 3 years, I was at Divine Child in Dearborn.
Yeah,
So this past weekend, I was at Divine Child, where I've made the most impact in the 3 years that I thought I was validly ordained.
Yeah.
So I went there to make the announcement, and everybody was very supportive.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Why wouldn't this be covered? For instance, we have something called baptism by desire, right?
Yes.
And I, of course, it's strictly speaking, it's when circumstances, one can't find water or they're near death and they want to be baptized, but our minister's not available. Why wouldn't that apply, be extended to include your situation?
Yeah, so I'm confident that if before I was baptized, a few weekends ago, if I died, I would have died in the Lord's graces, right? That would have been definitely baptism by desire. I was convinced I was baptized. And also, the much bigger problem that isn't so much in the forefront in the news, the hundreds of people who have been invalidly baptized at the same place that I was invalidly baptized. I don't know, I'm not aware, but if one of those people over the course of 30 years died at a young age, I'm extremely confident that the Lord blesses that and the Lord is present in that, and that would be baptism by desire. They were convinced that they were baptized. They did everything that they were supposed to do to get baptized. Now, baptism by desire doesn't provide valid baptism. So I didn't receive the sacrament. That's more at the moment of death, right? Baptism by desire.
Yeah.
That the Lord doesn't, you know, you've received the sacrament in some way known to God alone, right? At the moment of death.
That's right.
But it's not, it doesn't provide a valid baptism, you know, here and now.
We don't presume on God's grace.
We're controlled by the sacramental structure that Jesus instituted.
Right.
But he's not limited to it.
Right. No, I get that. And so we don't presume on God's grace here.
Exactly.
Once we know there's been a problem, we want to correct it.
Exactly.
God can do what he wants, but we need to do what he's told us to do. So.
Exactly.
Well, Father, thank you so much. Wonderful talking with you. Wish you the best.
You,
I hope things go well for you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Father Matthew Hood, we're going to talk with Monsignor Ronald Brown as well about this, canon lawyer who's been involved in this situation.